ज्ञानति निरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Yeah, this is most appropriate song for preachers of Krishna consciousness. It's Kobe Hobe Bolo Shede Nama. Of course, there are many which are appropriate. They're all appropriate, actually, but particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur, here at the end of the collection of songs, Sharanagati, is proposing to describing how by becoming free from offenses to the holy name, he still doesn't put himself in the position of having achieved that, but he's kobe hobe. When will that be? He says that when I'll be free from offenses, and then he'll be fully absorbed in the bliss of Krishna consciousness, then with mercy upon the feelings of mercy toward the conditioned souls arising in his heart, then in a most humble mood, giving up or forgetting his own personal happiness, he will preach Krishna consciousness. Sri Agya Tahal Kadibe Pracha. He will preach Krishna consciousness. Agya Tahal means following the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tahal means traveling around, chanting the holy names. Sri Agya means, here in this context, it means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Prabhu Ragya Bhai Magi E Bhikkha Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Karo Krishna Shikha Aparada Shunna Hoye Laha Krishna Nam Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Dhana Pran Krishna Shangshara Karo Charyana Cha Jibe Doya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharmasha. So these are some of the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard, and there's of course the very famous one, Jare Dekhe Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh Amaragai Kuru Hoyataro Edesh Najo Gao. This actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by his own guru. Najo Gao Bhakta Shange Koro Shankirtan Krishna Na Upadeshi Tara Sarvajan. So you can all understand these words I'm saying, except you, because you don't know any Indian language yet. But if you learn one, then you can easily understand. Can you understand? You know any Hindi? No. So anyone who knows any Indian language, except perhaps Tamil, they can understand these very simple words. Nacho gao, dance and sing. Bhakta shonge, koro shankirtan, in the association of devotees, perform sankirtan. Krishna nama upadeshi, instructing or by instructing the name of Krishna. Tara sarvajan, deliver all the people. So, as I was saying, this is very suitable for preachers of Krishna consciousness. Now, some devotees say, well, you have to become perfect and then you preach. But as Srila Prabhupada, well, Prabhupada, when this proposition was brought to him, he said, well, then you'll never be perfect. When do you think, who is going to think that I'm perfect? Now I'm a Paramahamsa, 108 Sri Paramahamsa, and now I'll preach. But you don't have any practice. But rather by preaching this Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh, this verse was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the, who is known as Kurama Vipra, one unnamed brahmana at Kurumakshetra, who proposed to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I'm feeling it's the Vishaya Taranga, the waves of material life. It's most unpalatable. I want to go with you. He wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in sannyas, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, stay here and preach Krishna consciousness, deliver this Adish, this place where you are already. And if you do like this, then what will happen is that Kabuna Badhi Betomai E Bishoitaranga Punarapi E Tai Pabe Morasanga. That if you do like this, then you won't be overcome by the waves of sense gratification. And right here in this very place, you will get my association. So, if we're actually absorbed in trying to spread Krishna consciousness, then we can perceive, sometimes we get flashes of mercy, in which we perceive the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna is with us, Prabhupada is with us. As I was saying, the main, in distributing books, the main force, or the, what's the main secret, is the desire to do so and praying. Pray, Srila Prabhupada, please give me the intelligence to distribute these books. Dear Krishna, in the heart of the people I'm speaking to, please inspire them to take these books. So it requires our own personal commitment, which comes from our own faith in Krishna consciousness and our own absorption in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, our own hearing and chanting about Krishna is essential to have the strength and maintain the strength to go on. As far as techniques are concerned, we often ask, what are the techniques? Well, there are certain things you can say, which devotees say, which can help, are calculated to help people or to awaken people's interest in taking the books. But as far as techniques are concerned, which we can also consider, the main thing is to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time we can also consider how to present the matter in such a way as to inspire the people to buy the book. When Srila Prabhupada was asked how to present his books, he suggested to show them this verse and read it out. Krishne swadhamo bhagate dharma jnana dibhi saha kala nashta drishamesha purana arko dhunoditaha. Krishna has returned to his own abode accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness in this Kali Yuga will get light from this Bhagavat Purana. So that's suitable for distributing first canto of Bhagavatam, in which this verse appears. There are many verses in which we can show, this is what you're getting. Many verses which are very impressive, even to first time people who see the books for the first time. In mundane sales techniques, they say that you don't sell, the salesman doesn't really sell the product, he sells himself. That means that people, it's not so much that they're impressed by the product, but they're impressed by the salesman. You can come and say, well, this is very good, and it might be very good, but it's the enthusiasm of the salesman, the personality impresses them, and we the buyer, or the potential buyer. So, again, if we are Krishna conscious, that gives us spiritual energy, so that when we go among non-devotees, they feel uplifted by that. So, as far as techniques are concerned, one thing you can do is smile, and that might sound a little mundane, smile. It shouldn't be an artificial smile, but devotees are happy and non-devotees generally feel very harassed and especially in this city, Bangalore, it's like, I think people are afraid that if they smile, they'll be arrested or something. You don't see much smiling going on in this city. People are really miserable in this place, aren't they? I thought Delhi was bad, but this is worse. Really, really difficult to crack a smile out of people. So, looking happy, that's... Anyway, a devotee automatically looks happy. But sometimes, we feel tired or harassed, or especially if many people say, no, 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 and we start to feel... Or they don't say no, no, they just no interest. That's more common, just no interest. So, anyway, keep on smiling and praying, and some people will take. And you can never tell who exactly is going to take the book. Something else is that first impressions. They say that the first impression, when you see someone, the first impression is that makes an impact. So, of course, I'm not very good in this regard myself in terms of being nicely dressed and looking clean and all this kind of thing. But if you're going out and preaching, it's good to be shaved, at least the face, and to wear... Actually, I was thinking about this. Maybe you could even give your cloth to a dhobi who'll get it very clean and pressed. Then it looks... Otherwise, people tend to think of sadhus as beggars, that kind of impression. Huh? Yeah, to have good clothes, not to wear torn clothes, and if it's pressed, the clothes look better, at least for some time. So you might consider that. It costs a little extra to do it with the dhobi. But especially they press it, and the clothes get finished twice as quickly also, because they thwack it against the stone. That's the dhobi method. But it does look better. And you can try and see, it might make a difference. With Gadadha, he already has his first impression. He's got an advantage there, having the white skin. That's all automatically, people respect this. I don't know why, but, well, historically, culturally, there are reasons, although, the Westerner means, in, of course, not our devotees, but meat eaters and all this, so Indian people are so, well, maybe that's one reason, if they see that people coming from such a different culture have taken up Krishna consciousness. But, like that. If you, and another thing here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Sudin Hridoy, Korya Binoy, he says twice in two lines, he speaks about being very humble. So that's also, on the one hand, we're quite, we have to be confident of our, being humble doesn't mean that you're just inviting everyone to kick in your head. You should be confident of, we have something good to give, and we're confident that in Krishna's protection. So confidence, but at the same time, a humble mood, that means amanina, manadena, not expecting people to respect us and willing to give respect to others. So we can refer to people as sir, for instance, and we can speak very politely, and often people are impressed by that. Again, I may not be a very good example of this myself, but at least in theory we can see. Well, I do also. I mean, generally when I meet with people, we treat them with some respect. I remember this, I was impressed. Last year I was in San Diego in California, and one of the biggest book distributors in America, Parameshwar, was there. Now, to be a book distributor in America, it actually means a lot more than being a book distributor in India, because it actually is, it's a lot more difficult. In India, many people are already, they have some inclination to this. But in America, not many. Not many, so. But I'd see how he'd speak to with people, and he impressed them. I could see they'd listen to him. He'd talk quietly. He didn't smile, actually. But people, the way he spoke with people, it was very grave and serious, and people were impressed. They could. He's a little older also. He's probably about the same age as me, maybe a little younger. And people, we were out on, was it Friday night or Saturday? Friday, I think it was. All people go out to enjoy at the end of the week. They go out to drink and go to restaurants and all this. So they're in a completely different mood to that of anyone you might expect to take a book. But he just kind of, just like for 2 minutes, he'll grab their attention. And just by his own spiritual strength and mental strength will grab the people's attention, and they're jogged out of that mood, and then they take the book. So, of course, you can't imitate that, but anyway, I'm just giving some ideas of how we can distribute more books, which is the point, actually. You're going out, and this whole arrangement, this whole apartment, everything is how to distribute the books, which also the people, although they don't know it, they're also contributing for printing more books and for building a temple, because that's what the money goes for, right? All the profit after the expenses, it goes for printing more books, and then it will go to Salem for building the temple there. So they're getting great benefit, although they don't know. But they are getting tremendous benefit. So, Hare Krishna, any questions or comments about this? All right, so, yeah.
I want to ask this question for my own clarification, because I was in dilemma. That, like, today is Krima Nijala Ekadasi. So we were thinking to stay back and do fasting and then do our chanting and reading. So how to do? We actually could take prasadam also, Ekadasi prasadam, and go out for sankirtan, or we can do sometimes like this.
If you want to take off a day sometimes, the ideal day to do it is Ekadashi. But when Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, he said that no, the preachers, they can take this Anukalpa Prasad, that means alternative, and go out. And Srila Prabhupada himself, he didn't give much importance or any importance to Nirjala Ekadashi. He just followed it the same way as he did every Ekadashi, which was to take prasadam in the morning and midday and in the evening. So we can do it. It's not that it's bad or wrong. You can do, but it's an individual thing. And like I say, if time to time you want to take a day off for extra hearing and chanting, then Ekadashi is the ideal day to do so. Fasting, that's up to you, but you want to have strength the next day also. And especially if you do Nirjal, I've seen even devotees who do it every time, still the next morning, they're very weak. Generally we see that. And as I understand it, people in former ages, or not very long ago, they had much stronger bodies, and they're from birth, they were, well, for a start, even to survive childbirth at an early age, they had to have strong bodies with strong resistance, because many children died in the womb, in childbirth, and in infancy. So that was one thing. And then people live much more healthy lives and ate much more healthy food. They didn't have poison in the air, poison in the water, poison in the food. So everything they did was helpful for their health, just automatically. But nowadays things are quite different. So people, they don't have... I did for myself for some time. I used to fast completely on Ekadashi, but then my, you know, it's just so bad for my digestion that I just stopped doing it. Do what's best for our spiritual life. So like I say, some devotees they do, they follow every Ekadashi near Jal and they go on with their service. It depends on the individual. Up to you. It's not something to make a big announcement about. Hello everybody, today I'm fasting completely from water. I just wanted to let you all know. Not like that. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri.